Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas with Discover the Finger Lakes. It's saverlife.com, and saw a note posted recently that the Autism Nature Trail at Letchworth, otherwise known as the Ant, which is cute. I love that name. And they are wrapping up their fundraising. They've raised already $3 million of a total of $3.7 million. And one of the very cool things about this is that that money raised includes an endowment which will help with maintenance, operations, and programming forever, as they say. And that's unusual to do that kind of fundraising, and start from the beginning with an endowment. Very smart thing to do, and maybe a trend for the future. Is probably other projects are doing this. I doubt this is the first one, but it's unusual, and you see lots of examples of, especially plantings, rain gardens, just tons of examples, even along highways and around commercial buildings, new developments, where things are planted, maybe trails or other outdoor features are installed, and they don't get maintained or replaced when needed. It's sort of assumed in many cases that the city or the town or the village or the park or whatever will take over maintenance and operations. But these are organizations, and entities that have had their budgets cut constantly, and they just don't have the funding and the people to do this. So congratulations to the people behind the Autism Nature Trail at Letchworth State Park. And it's described as a public-private partnership to provide a recreational trail within Letchworth State Park designed to allow visitors with autism and other developmental disabilities to push boundaries, explore new activities, and develop skills. And there's a 1 minute video that you can watch if you go to their website, autismnaturetrail.com. It's called The Ant in 1 Minute. And one of the most striking parts of that, I thought, was that so often existing trails, existing activities outside and inside are designed for non-autistic individuals, kids, adults, and this is a pretty unique opportunity to design something specifically for people with autism, kids in particular, but that is open to everyone. This is not limited, a limited way to. For only people with autism, anyone's welcome to go, and they have some cool renderings on their website, autismnaturetrail.com, sensory station, pavilion, and they have a sunshine slope, music circle, curiosity corner. There's a meadow. There's a design area, reflection point. I can't wait to see this trail and more. So look it up online. You can download the renderings. You can see a video about it. And again, they have made great progress in raising this money. So, and Letchworth State Park was chosen as the best state park in the United States a few years ago. Now, this was part of the 10best.com, which is done, it's a USA Today kind of a vehicle for running these 10 best contests over all kinds of different things. Right now they have competitions on the best small town beer scene, the best beer bar, the best beer city, best cidery. And these are they go on for a month and then they move on to new categories. And they're in essence a popularity contest, which is fine. And the Finger Lakes has gotten a ton of free publicity from these. In particular, the Christopher and Isabel's restaurants, restaurant FLX Table, won one of the contests for best new restaurant as well as best winery restaurant a year or so later. And in particular the best new restaurant in the United States, the way this system works at 10best.com, they're writers for USA Today and for 10 Best. They come up with 20 entries and then people vote online for a month to see which one is the best one. But really, it should be the 10 favorite rather than the 10 best, I think. And it really shows which ones people are most excited about. And with the best new restaurant in the United States, FLX Table was in the smallest city by far. I think Louisville, Kentucky was where another restaurant was, and that's about 20 times bigger than Geneva. And then most of them were in Dallas, New York, San Francisco. They were major cities. And yet FLX Table won that competition. Again, it's the passion of the people who, because you can vote every day for these, which really determines the winner. And I think I mentioned last week that the public square in Corning, that was voted best public square in the country over mostly much larger cities. And it's maybe no surprise that Christopher and Isabel have a restaurant right across the street from that public square. And they've seen how much the free publicity has garnered their restaurants, and I would imagine maybe in conjunction with the city of Corning or Corning Inc., got together and promoted this competition for Best Public Square, which they won just a few weeks ago. So Corning is, we'll get a nice article in USA Today and online publicity, and I'll bet there are a whole lot of people checking that website because of the other entries, the other 19 entries, who have probably never heard of Corning, never realized even where it was, because it's a pretty small community. And so there are a lot of ways that one gets free publicity from these. And Fifth Frame Brewing, by the way, was just in a recent competition, which is, I think it's wrapped up now. I was just going to look and see who won for best beer label. There were 20 entries, and from around the United States, Fifth Frame had one of their beers nominated. I think it was the Plunge, and they were ranked number 6 for a long time, and probably ended up at number 6. In the top 10, which, given all the breweries out there, all the beer labels out there, that was pretty extraordinary. So you can look up 10best.com. You can read about some previous voting, and several times the Finger Lakes has won best wine region in the United States. Again, really, as much as I love the Finger Lakes, I would not try to argue that it is the best wine region in the United States. I would argue they won because it's the region most more people are excited about. Napa is a great wine region, but it's not up and coming. It's already there. The Finger Lakes is more of a newly discovered region in some ways, and so it won the competition for best new wine region several years in a row. So getting back to breweries, I noticed articles recently at DNC and online that there are two new breweries in Naples, or will be soon, which is a bit surprising given Naples is not a particularly big place, but excited for them. One, I think, is a former firefighter, and another one, two friends from RIT. Two new breweries coming to Naples. They already have Hollerhorn Distillery. Naples is a very small place, but there are a lot of people in the region, and there doesn't seem to be any shortage, or it doesn't seem to be too many breweries yet. Canandaigua just announced that they're going to start a Canandaigua beverage trail. I don't know if that'll include Naples. I'm guessing maybe not, but it may be a beverage trail around Canandaigua Lake, in which case Naples would be part of that. I'm guessing it probably does go around Canandaigua Lake, but I haven't seen any firm maps of where this beverage trail is planned, but clearly designed to incorporate breweries, wineries, cideries, distilleries, whatever other beverages, meaderies that might appear. So, again, that's Canandaigua Beverage Trail is. We'll probably see more information shortly about that. And as a couple of people who were quoted in the article, I think this was. I'm not sure where I saw the article, but a couple of people quoted said, these trails are really good marketing devices, but they are not they're not the only answer. You can't rely just on the creation of a trail as a way to, keep the businesses in the region growing. It needs to be a whole combination of efforts. And again, a couple new breweries in Naples. If you are looking for a place to start a new brewery or distillery or something, maybe a winery, one of the considerations, maybe particularly for breweries that are, they're a little more flexible in where they're located, just given they're not usually growing their own hops, and it's not like they have vineyards right there as many wineries do, but not all wineries. So the breweries are perhaps more likely to decide to locate somewhere where they can be on this Canandaigua wine or Canandaigua beverage trail rather than on one of the other lakes where there isn't something like that in place. And the Canandaigua Beverage Trail has the potential to include, and I would guess they would work very hard to include Other Half Brewing, which, it's all how you define the boundaries of this, but it's perhaps the best known brewery nationwide that's located in our area now, and just because it added this location from Brooklyn, already had a reputation as a cult brewery, and Route 64 and 5 and 20 where it's located is kind of going around Canandaigua Lake, although there you could take Route 21 through Cheshire and you'd be closer to Canandaigua Lake. But it will be very interesting to see how they set this up. I know Livingston County set up an ice cream trail, and that's, I think, been pretty successful. And they included a couple of, maybe two ice cream shops that are not in Livingston County, but are right on the border, very close to it, which is a good idea. Why, you know, a lot of these boundaries are kind of artificial and don't make that much sense in terms of, geography of creating a trail, where the roads are, et cetera. So it'll be fun to see what happens with this Canandaigua Beverage Trail. I'm glad they're doing it. And, I think we'll bring extra tourists to the Finger Lakes. Also, there's a comment period open for the Finger Lakes National Heritage Area that's been proposed. U.S. Senator Kristen Gillibrand helped to set this process in motion, and the National Park Service is looking at this and wants feedback on, I think largely from people who live here, whether the Finger Lakes should be a National Heritage Area. And this designation would be very helpful in fighting some of the industrial projects that get proposed for the Finger Lakes, or some that are already here and are hoping to expand. And so this is, it's not going to solve all our problems any more than a beverage trail solves all your marketing problems. But having the Finger Lakes designated a National Heritage Area brings funding, credibility, brings tourists, and has lots of advantages for our region if we see it as a heritage area. And it's just given the amazing history here in our region, both agricultural and abolitionist history, the women's rights history, the Erie Canal and the impact that had on development of the United States. There's so much history here. You have Ganondagon, which is a fantastic, one of the top Native American museums in the United States right now. Or a museum isn't. It's far more than that. A destination to visit for people interested in Native American history from around the country. And the Finger Lakes has the Finger Lakes Cultural Natural History Museum that's in progress in Branchport. Tons of great resources here, and this helps to bring them together. And just that process of doing that, and they've been working on it for a couple of years since Kristen Gillibrand helped to formalize this proposal. Now's the time to send in your comments to the National Park Service. If you want links, and more details, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. You also find them pretty easily searching. The Ithaca Journal had a nice article about this. National Heritage Area comments are due by, I believe, June 15th. And, write something up, send it in, encourage a few friends and neighbors, maybe some relatives, people who really love this region, to write about what they think is special and would make this a great place to be designated as a National Heritage Area. Ithaca Journal had a nice article about this recently. If you have comments, questions, you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. We'll be back tomorrow with the Grapevine. Hope you get out and enjoy this sunny weather. It's cold, but the sunshine feels great. And email me with comments or questions, michael@saverlife.com. Have a great day.